Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show, presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me as always, fellow co-host, Josh Hart.
Well, it's good to be here. Every week that we're not quarantined, it's a week to be proud of.
All right, guys, people, stay safe. Norm Powell, averaging 31.3 points per game.
Amazing.
Shooting 56% from the field, 46% from three. Now, it's Norm Powell, so it's only 2.3 rebounds and 3.7 assists, but he is averaging 2.3 steals as well.
Yep.
In three wins, coming up big, playing almost 40 minutes a night, fresh off injury. What are your feelings as a fellow Jamaican?
One, probably since the 2016 Olympics, the most wonderful moment in Jamaican-Canadian history. Party Next Door, you can change that by putting out a solid album. But until then, Norm Powell is... What an inspiration.
You need Norm Powell to break out a dunk and do this?
No. I can't wait. No, I think Norm Powell has proved himself to be the an elite finisher for this team and probably one of the most reliable shot makers and takers that this team's seen in like a long time. Like, this is kind of what DeMar DeRozan looked at. Like, just a great finisher. And it's been... I mean, I can't say I'm surprised because I believe that he had this in him all along, but the numbers speak for themselves. He's looked incredible.
Yeah, he has looked incredible. And he's honestly, I mean, before it was just like a hot streak, but now he's kind of like carrying the team a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? If you look at the last couple of wins here, obviously Kyle's been phenomenal. Kyle's great.
Kyle's been, I think, in the Norm love and sort of the Pascal question marks, it's been lost how good the stretch has been from Kyle.
Yeah.
From right before the All-Star break and then through to this chunk of games after, he's been awesome. Even that skid that they went on at the end of February wasn't Kyle's fault.
Yeah.
He's been awesome.
But, you know, they've needed the scoring from Norm. Like, that's the thing. Every single one of these games, like, even though you're looking at wins over Phoenix and wins over Golden State and Sacramento, like, they have been somewhat close, and you needed Norm scoring the whole way to keep it close, and then also Norm scoring in crunch time to close it out. So, I mean, credit to Norm, man. I'm real happy, you know? I mean, early in this program, if you go back a couple of weeks, which I do not advise, there are probably some bad takes about Norm Powell.
Just never go back.
But, no, I'm coming around, man. He's been incredible.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it at some point, but the starting two-guard controversy is going to come back, and I'd like to see a healthy Fred before that. And I think for right now, Norm's just looked great, and I'm happy for him. And that can be it for right now. Before we look ahead, it's been an awesome stretch from Norm. He's played the best of basketball of his career. Earlier this year, Serge was playing the best basketball of his career, which is great to show that the Raptors, you know, these guys coming off the bench and leading the second unit have been awesome. Yeah. And that's what, you know, fans can be really excited about, is that we have two absolute studs coming off the bench for this team right now.
Super quick questions before we get to the calls. Last one about Norm. He's obviously not going to average 31 points a game the rest of the way, as he did this. Okay, well. He cools down, like, what's he going to settle into? He's on the season, he's averaging 16.8 points per game with the true shooting of 63%.
That's high. that's so high.
That's like Pascal last year.
Yeah. Norm's, I don't know, I think he can be, like a 15. It depends on the shot attempt he's getting. He's not going to be the second option like he has been in the second, third option in some of these games. But if he can be a fourth option who scores like 15, like 13 to 15 on over 55% true shooting percentage, I don't think it's impossible because he knows his spots and he can get to the rim really easily, and he's one of the guys who gets transition looks.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think honestly, it doesn't look that unsustainable to me. I think, A, he's just much improved as a shooter. Like, I trust his three-point shot now.
Yep.
And then he's just, like, much more efficient with his scoring. His driving is just more composed.
He just he knows what he wants to do. I wonder.
Look, like this is one thing. Norm used to get blocked a lot on his drives. Nowadays, he never gets blocked.
Yeah,
like he got blocked against Sacramento. And I was like, huh, I forgot that that used to be a thing that just happens. He doesn't miss at the rim anymore.
No.
He finishes with power. He's getting a lot more dunks off. And not just like transition dunks, because obviously he's always had that in his package. But just when you're dunking in a half-court situation, that signifies to me that you are reading the defense and you are attacking a gap so well that you can actually get and finish like at the rim.
No, that's a good point.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to cool down. And I think he might still be the third option when everyone comes back.
And if well, that means he's starting. But if he is the third option,
he's the first option off the bench.
Yeah. For right now. So until, yes.
If he does come off the bench. And we will talk about that in a second. But let's get to some callers. Line one, we have an old favorite, Kate. Yeah.
Kate, welcome back to the show.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yes, of course.
Can you hear us?
Hey, guys. I can, yeah. I could just hear you all through your speaking good praises about Norm, so I wasn't sure I was on. I was on a different bum line or something. How you guys been?
It's been okay.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. The weather has been awesome to see it turn around. Life's pretty good.
Yeah,
the weather is great. I think I'm more thrilled about the longer sunlight. I mean, there's full sunlight outside still.
Yes, that is true.
It's incredible.
Yeah, losing an hour always feels a little weird, but
yeah, yesterday was a weird day. Felt really horrible most of the day, but.
Also, why do you got to lose an hour during International Women's Day?
Hey, open.
You know. I mean, look, you guys have 365 plus 1 hour of,
it's true.
Of the year.
Of International Men's
Day. 364 plus 1 hour is International Men's Day.
Yeah.
We had 23 hours.
It was it was quite flagrant.
Yeah.
I don't know who put that together, but
yeah,
reported.
It's terrible. I block it. well, guys, I don't know if you saw this tweet earlier this week, but I wanted to give you guys a call about it because I thought it was, uncharacteristically witty coming from, I hate to be slanderous, but from a Bucks account, from Bucks Twitter. Mm. This tweet came from Bucks Anarchy, and it was their 2020 Bucks Villains.
Mm. The bracket. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody from, Fred VanVleet, who they like to call, quote unquote, the outlier, to Rapper Twitter outlier. Got mentioned in there. Rachel Nichols was up there, Doug Gottlieb, Skip Bayless, the Celtics. Doris Burke, of all people, was.
What? Rachel Nichols, I expected, but Doris Burke. And
Doris
Skip.
Burke was the. Wow. And Drake, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How could you massage the opposing coach? Like, it's a crime. How could you massage the opposing coach? It's a crime.
It is a terrible crime. Uh-huh. He was the number two seed in the bracket.
So, right.
Fairly high place setting. I think we can consider that Drake's going to go pretty far. But I mean, as I said, this pretty uncharacteristically witty, and I started to think about Raptors villains.
Mm.
And I wanted to maybe crowdsource a few with you guys and see what you thought.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is for the most part, it's, kind of 2019, 2020 villains for Raptors. But, there is a few legacy villains that I've thought of as well. I didn't really seed these, but I'll just sort of go through them without much of an order. My number one, the first one that came to mind was the Detroit Pistons.
Makes sense. That's a great answer.
Injuries with basically injuring our entire team. Mm-hmm. Norm twice, Mark Pascal.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey getting on Toronto Sports Radio to slander.
Subtly shade.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
No, that's a good one.
Okay. That's a low seed.
You think it's a low seed?
That's pretty good. That's a pretty high seed.
I just like the Raptors beat them all the time. So I don't really feel like as much animosity.
I guess they're not like a villain. That
also,
you
Marcus
that you
Gasol injured himself just running. Like that wasn't the Pistons' fault.
But it's a cursed building.
Yeah, it is a
the Little Caesars Arena.
You mean Scotiabank South?
Arena, yeah, for sure. An evergreen favorite, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Definitely.
These two are tied together. Adam Silver for the Masai poaching conspiracy.
Yep.
And, the Ujiri Watchers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
The source is close to Ujiri.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct, yeah.
The other four people still using BBM.
There were two people, actually. A couple sources.
Oh, that's
two
right.
Long time Ujiri watchers.
Just watching them.
Yeah, the watchers. They're mm-hmm. they're in there. This guy's a bit of a loser, but we may as well mention him. It's always nice to bring out the receipts. Jason McIntyre from Fox Sports Radio, July 6th, claiming that Toronto's back to the basement, back to the lottery.
He's been getting it all year long.
I never even heard of this dude.
Yeah,
man.
Me neither.
I've been covering basketball for a long time. I don't know who this guy is, but he had that great rant. Also,
Sorry. You follow each other?
No. He's also doing a reaction podcast from his bedroom, apparently.
Next up, sort of in line with this, Dennis Scott and Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
For their placing Raptors, eighth and unseeded, respectively.
Yeah.
With kind of Bulls, Pistons, and Hawks on their playoff seeding, conference final seeding.
Yeah, NBA TV has a really hard broadcast schedule for games, so they got to fill the hours. So
they got a deep roster. I'm telling you,
it's hard to be too angry about that one.
Yeah.
Do you have one? I have somebody who I'm thinking of.
Let Kay finish the list,
okay,
and then
sorry.
We're gonna
two more. And then I want to crowdsource the rest. So Patrick Patterson,
that's a good one. Yeah.
Generally, just being in Toronto, not doing anything,
just gross incompetence.
Then the Twitter shade in 2018, and then his IG comments all this year.
Yeah.
Gross incompetence is a great way of putting it.
Scoring five total points in a playoff series.
No.
Yeah, he's got man has more scene points than basketball points.
That's definitely true, man.
And then finally, Tony Brothers again goes without saying.
That's true. Yeah. We could throw in
Mark Davis. Too.
Mark Davis. I was just going to say.
Mark Davis and Tony Brothers, maybe both of them. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do you have any for me here? I can add
Yeah, I mean, man, the TNT Bulls?
The TNT Bulls, yeah.
Yeah,
the 2012 through 2016 Bulls, it was crazy.
That was tough. Those were some tough years, man.
Matt Moore, Hardward.
Oh, come on.
He really...
He really doesn't like Kyle Lowry.
And he was like... good at it. When the Raptors were first making the playoffs, he'd be like, you guys are actually really bad. And he'd end up being right, and we'd get swept by the Wizards.
I was going to say, he's probably still wondering about Fred VanVleet being an outlier, because he insists that that's the only reason the Raptors beat the Bucks is that Fred VanVleet had an out-of-body experience. He had one game with seven threes. That was amazing. For the series he had, just a regular series.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
Everybody loves the Fred VanVleet as an outlier. I mean, just put Fred VanVleet as an outlier
on Raptors villain
theory. On Raptors villain.
That's a good. It's a good consideration.
I was gonna say Brian Colangelo's got to be on this list.
Brian Colangelo's on. What about Dwayne Casey playoff rotations on the villain list?
Oh man.
I'm sorry.
The surprise starter is Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah,
he's gonna guard Paul Pierce.
Man, remember when Lewis? Who did he start in the Pacers series? It was really bad. Oh, God. Tyler Hansbrough was one of them. Luis Scola, he started.
I mean, we went to the conference finals with Luis Scola and Damari Carroll as two starting forwards.
A question, do we have to still have LeBron on here?
Was LeBron ever truly a villain? He was.
It's just LeBron, though, maybe more than anything.
But it was because the Raptors were a punchline.
That's more Mark Jones's fault, man. Yeah. Bro, you're from Toronto. How could you do that? He's Canadian.
It's true.
How dare you?
No one even. It's not like LeBron said it. He just said it. He's like, "Oh, LeBron too." I'm like, "Yo, really? You're gonna come home after that?"
Yeah. No, that was pretty bad.
So, all right.
Get out of here. Well, that's a pretty good list, guys.
All right.
Anything else?
I think we have 16 seeds right there.
Yeah, somebody should rank them for us and
hit you
up on your Discord.
Maybe I will.
No, I was going to say, Kate, you're on it.
All right.
I was going to do a different type of a bracket, but this one's funnier. I don't know. I hate to give Bucks Twitter any thought at all, but this one was pretty witty.
This one was good.
State of Wisconsin has a good idea every once in a while.
You know, they have one or two wins, and then they lose four straight. So.
Every now and then a blind squirrel gets in that.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, thanks, Kate. Have a good week.
Right, thank you.
You guys too. Right. Bye.
Peace. Kate, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for that call.
The best prepared caller ever.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
It's true. We have Deep from Victoria on line 2. Deep, thanks for waiting and welcome to the show.
No worries, guys. What's going on? How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Very well. Very well. It's a beautiful day out here on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Excellent.
Wait, hold on. What are you talking? Because we got some nice weather here in Toronto, too.
No, man. It's sunny out here. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. 7 degrees.
Oh, wait. What? It's like 15 in Toronto.
Wait, you said 7?
It's 7, yeah, but it's super sunny. Like, I'm 7.
Seven.
Yo, but it's really sunny. It's like 14 here today, man.
It's 14, but not that sunny.
Why are you in shorts?
Let me double check one sec here.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Let's get the AccuWeather.
Yeah, it says 7.
Okay, all right.
It feels great. It feels warmer than... We got the mildest climate in Canada over here, man.
That is true.
I believe that is true.
Right? Yeah, we're jealous.
All right. Don't talk to me about weather.
Maybe we'll be there in June, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, we're all quarantined out here. So what's up, man?
That tournament might not go down because all the stuff that's going down.
It's what a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, let's talk raps.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I got three things, a few things, but three guys I want to focus on are Norm, OG, and Pascal.
Okay.
Who do you guys want to start with?
Start with Norm, man. Player of the week.
Yeah. Perfect, yes. Yeah, I saw that, and you guys were talking about it earlier. So, with Norm, like, he's obviously been playing real well since he's been coming back from these injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, I just want to say, in previous years, playoff Norm was a thing, and I think playoff Norm is just a regular thing now. He's just going to do that all the time.
Yeah, I like that.
His ability to really hone in on scoring and wanting to be decisive and actually finish at the tin, has been huge. Like, in years prior, you know how he's just been punting it off the middle of the backboard and, like, all the time, right?
No, that's true. It's facts.
But I mean, he's taking the next step, and obviously he's not going to score 30 every night, but he can give you 15 to 20, like you guys were saying. That's big, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of probably is what he is now. He's probably not going to take another step because he's already taken a couple now.
Mm-hmm.
So these other two guys, I still think can take a couple more steps.
Okay.
Specifically Pascal. I know guys, lots of people, when it comes to Pascal, they've been ragging on him for not being able to do things, like struggling against top teams. But you can't expect him to do that right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first year
mm-hmm.
As a focal guy. So he's got to grow and come into that role, right? But in terms of skill and what he could do, at the next level, like going forward next couple of years, I think he could improve on his ability to really score the three, right? Like he can make it here and there,
mm-hmm.
and he's shown flashes where he can hit like 4 or 5 in a game.
He's a little streaky right now. He's hot and cold.
He's streaky, right? Yeah, exactly. He's super streaky. So if he can get more effective on that,
mm-hmm.
that'd be great. And also creating for others. Like, when you think about DeMar, like, and his ascension as a player, he got better every single year. And one thing that he really got real good at was creating for others and working that playmaking game. So what do you guys think of those points just on Pascal?
I think it's true. I think I think right now Pascal in his first year is the number one option. Is a little better as a playmaker than DeMar was at that time. Because DeMar came into that playmaking a little later. And the big difference with DeMar in terms of his playmaking was when he started running more pick and roll and operating more that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only starting to see Pascal get good at that pick and roll game right now. So I think as he gets more comfortable with his handle, as he runs more pick and roll, you'll see his assists go up. Because there's only so many assists you can get passing out of the post.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
The thing I'm most interested in seeing Pascal work on is his outside shooting. It makes him a flatter player, a less dynamic player. And once he takes the next step there and is able to hit the three better and even sort of just step inside from that and effectively get guys to jump at the elbow,
mm-hmm.
I think that'll unlock a lot of his game. He's to me, I don't know how much better a playmaker he can get and how much it'll impact his game. I know that every hour he spends in the shooting gym plays huge dividends in his performance on the court.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a thing you see lacking.
Yeah, shooting for sure, but I think in terms of playmaking, when the longer you play basketball,
mm-hmm.
the better you get at it.
That's true.
And he hasn't played that long, right?
Yeah.
So when defenders come and they're doubling him, he kind of knows what to do, but he's not really sure, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So if he can continue to get better at that, and when he sees a double team, actually find that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll come with time. I think it will, for sure, because he's already taken so many steps in such a short period of time, right?
Yep.
And he's not even that old.
No, he's not.
Yeah. OG.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to refer back. I called like back in December, like when December, I think it was 13th.
Okay.
It was like a bit of a downtime and we were losing a few games. So we were talking about like Pascal coming off screens and things like that to get him scoring and stuff, right? And we touched on OG a little bit. OG, I think, has taken a big step since then, like 3 months since last called in. Like he defends really well, specifically one-on-one. Like look at that game against the Nets where he's like, okay, give me LeVert. I'm going to shut him down. He's not going to do anything, right?
Yep.
And the ability to get all those steals is big. He's always going to be a dynamic defender, and he's always going to be able to stop his guy and blow things up and guard one through five. He's been almost that since he came into the league, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But I would say offensively, he can take another step in terms of, obviously he can shoot, right? But if he can learn, like dribble a little bit better and tighten up that handle, that would be big because they're actually running action for him now, which is kind of cool.
But he needs to
get better at that. And I would also think he needs to continue to cut down on those reverse dunks.
Oh, come on. What's wrong with the reverse dunks?
No, they're nice. They're nice, but he misses them sometimes. And sometimes he does them at bad times, you know?
Fair enough.
But one other thing I was going to say. Actually, what do you guys think about OG? I'll come back to you.
Yeah, he definitely needs to expand the dribble game because he does have some scoring skill. He's always been a good finisher around the basket.
He's good around the basket, and he can shoot okay, but he can't get from...
You just can't get from point A to point B.
Yeah. It always looks bad.
His post game's pretty good, and he just can't create his own shot really well, right?
Yeah, which comes with handling. If he if you can shoot and you can finish at the basket, the difference is just like, can you get yourself to that shot by being able to dribble the basketball? Yeah. If it wasn't for Rondé, he might be the worst dribbler on the team.
But Rondé is really the worst dribbler on the team.
Well, what about Stanley though?
He's actually not. He's got a good handle.
Yeah, he's
got
not. A good he's just not allowed
he
to.
Can handle. Handle. I know. Yeah, he can handle.
Yeah,
he
come on, man.
I just wanted to say, why is he in such a doghouse, man? He should play a little bit.
It's really superfluous.
He could,
and he was rehabbing. And...
When you think about it, though, like in years past, like he can really defend like hard. Like look at that game last year when they played the Pistons. When we played the Pistons.
Yeah,
we had Kawhi. He almost kind of shut down Kawhi for a few possessions, right?
Yeah.
So he can definitely defend, but I think he just can't. He just doesn't know what he's doing on offense. That's why he's not playing.
That's a big problem. It's a big problem. Yeah.
You can't really not know what to do. Yeah. Like on a team that already, like the biggest problem in the Raptors game is their half court offense. Putting Stanley in that is just like a dog's breakfast.
We're good.
But they're not like running any like extravagant action where you shouldn't be able to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I guess.
Pretty simple stuff.
It's not a very good shooter though. That's the problem.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he shows flashes where he gets hot and then he's bad. Otherwise, just get some minutes at the Y. That's a Stanley suggestion for it.
Wow, there you go. All right, dude. All right, thanks for calling, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, enjoy the weather.
Take Peace.
Care. Bye.
Is this man calling us while jogging?
Yeah, he sounded.
Yeah.
Was he also the guy who called us in after? There's someone from Victoria.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Stoned a couple months ago.
Yeah, well, you know, it's legal in Canada.
Yeah, they're totally within their rights. Anywho. We have Adnan from Richmond Hill on line one. Adnan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. How are you guys doing today?
We're good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Just finished work. Will, did you go to MCI?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I work right beside MCI. So when I heard you, I'm like, yeah, you know where Sunny's is and Canadian Tire?
There's a Canadian Tire near MCI?
Like up by Kipling?
Yeah, not on Markham and, wait, is it Middlefield Collegiate? Or
No.
Martin Grove Collegiate. It's like at 427 and 401.
Nah, I work in Markham. Okay.
No. I can see why you thought I grew up in Markham, though.
I can see why as well.
All right.
Shout out Times Square, the bootleg one.
I have a question in regards to Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Well, more of an opinion. So I was watching the past couple games and seeing Kyle Lowry's impact. Not just to the game, but actually impacting other players.
Mm-hmm.
He legit actually makes almost everyone on his team a lot better than they actually are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Definitely.
So, my question is like maybe like I guess three Raptor players that you would say Lowry doesn't make a huge impact on when they play.
That he doesn't impact? So,
like, he obviously is still going to impact them, but like his impact is not as much. Like, even if he wasn't there, he'd still play just as well or just as terrible. Like Pat McCaw, I would say.
Just as well.
I was gonna say that was definitely the guy that came top to mind. Just because one of the things Larry does really well is as a playmaker, he's setting you up to score, and he's putting you in great positions to score. The problem is, if you're not going to score and you're just going to pass the ball right back, then, you know, it's not going to help you as much. In terms of other players Kyle Lowry has been unable to lift, I felt like him and Corey Joseph, I didn't really like the two of them together.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That's a bit of a weird one, but who else, man?
That he wasn't able to help.
Maybe Damari? Because like even Patrick Patterson wasn't good overall, but
Kyle
like,
almost
Kyle
made him a
sixth
man of the year.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is tough.
Just
James Johnson.
Like, what about Terrence Davis? Like, he's good, like great for a rookie and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But Terrence Davis himself, like, if he's doing, he's like a very streaky player. So if he's doing
definitely
really well, even by himself, he's amazing. But like, you can see like other nights, maybe like past couple games. Even with Kyle Lowry's playmaking and everything, he's not as good. Would he be another type of player that you think Kyle doesn't really make?
I've also seen Kyle set him up. Like, yeah. I've also seen...
The numbers this year with the two of them together are really good.
Yeah.
They don't play as much, but yeah.
Another player that Kyle... I don't know.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard to...
It's hard. He's lifted a lot of bad players.
Yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah, sorry, I wish we had better answers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's very good.
No. Very, very good question. It's a testament to how good he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. All right. Any predictions for tonight?
Apparently, Fred and Gasol are out with injury management.
Okay, makes sense.
So,
it's
tough. But
Utah, they're playing really good.
You know what? I'm going to call that a win. Raptors beat Utah on the road like at least the last three times, I think.
They always circle that game, and I think it's a game that, like, Nick Nurse and even Dwayne Casey are like, you guys better not effing lose.
Also, Utah's been very hot this year and then very cold. So you never really know which team's going to show up.
They are playing pretty well.
Right. Last time I saw them, Raptors up 40 at halftime. So,
also,
you know,
Donovan Mitchell needs to reclaim greatest Jamaican in the league.
Wow. I was going to say, Norm Powell playing like Donovan Mitchell nowadays.
Seriously, he looks amazing. Yeah. Anyway, Nan, thanks for the call. Do you have a prediction?
No problem. Honestly, for me, it's really based off how the bench plays. I mean, Nick Nurse kind of called them out, so I'm assuming they're going to play well.
Yeah.
But for me, it's all down to the bench. If the bench actually starts...
Do you want to predict how many stories Chris Boucher will post with Instagram?
Probably about five if he makes a post.
That's a loss.
Wow.
Only five?
We're going to need like 10.
We're going to need 10 to win.
But he's going to play, though, because Mark's out, so he's going to have to play.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Peace. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, we're going to need more than that. Next on the show, we have a podcaster. We have one of the great voices of Raptors Twitter.
One of the 16,000 voices of the Dishes and Dimes podcast.
Shout out to all of we hung out with many of the Dishes and Dimes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later, but it was nice to...
We hung out with like eight of them, and that was only half the podcast.
It was six and of the... I don't know. Yeah. Iman, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. How is your commute?
It's pretty good. I made a stop. I just mentioned that to you. I'm in the car right now. I hope it's not too loud.
No,
you sound fine.
You sound fine.
Sound great.
Today we invited him on the show to talk about what everybody's talking about, Norm Powell and his foil.
Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Oh, yeah. No, and you know what? As much as I feel like this is going to be Norm love, it's also, I sense, going to be Fred VanVleet hate. Because there's an agenda out there, and I do see it. I see it.
No, listen, I just remember the argument for Fred VanVleet starting ahead of Norm being that Norm doesn't deserve the starting spot, hasn't earned it.
Yeah, that changed.
Good enough.
That changed.
I just,
who said that?
Because that changed, should he be starting? Are you on our side now?
I'm more 50-50 now, for sure. I still think...
Does the Bucks game change anything?
Does the what?
Bucks game.
The Bucks game, just watching just no guard be able to drive to the basket and just being completely scared of the paint at all change anything for you?
You're getting barred up, Will.
I mean, did Fred play that one?
Norm didn't. No, Norm.
Well,
yeah, Norm and Fred
both. Am I wrong in thinking that? Am I wrong in remembering this?
No, you're.
Either way, if Fred was playing, it's not like he was attacking Brooke Lopez.
That was Fred's last game. He got hurt in that game.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm remembering that properly.
He did.
Okay.
I do cover every game, so I'm going to say that. Look, I'll say this much. Norm this year is averaging 19.7 points per game with 52% shooting from the field, 42.6% from three, 64.7% true shooting percentage as a starter this year.
Amazing.
20 points per game on 65% true shooting. Those are Chris Middleton numbers.
Those are he's become Chris Middleton.
All NBA fraud, Chris Middleton.
What's Norm averaging as a starter?
Up, he shows up when games matter. The last important game Chris Middleton played was at the summertime, and what did he do then? How did Team USA look then?
Oh, yeah.
Not great.
Yeah, you can't we all think it was the playoffs, but no, he crapped the bed even bigger in the summertime.
How can
he had another chance at it.
How can you expect a man to play well against Turkey? Or the Czech Republic?
Oh, God.
Those
are
any other teams.
That's the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Norm certainly is an all-time Bucks killer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's been fun to watch him do it for his whole career.
I just resurfaced Game 5, 2017, first-round playoff series. Norm got the start, and I think he put 25 on the Bucks in a blowout.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know how long we were just, like, yelling for Norm to get that start? that was so great. It's great that Norm got to be the person that we were yelling for to start in the playoffs, and now we just started it in the regular season.
Mm.
Yeah.
The propaganda machine just started earlier.
I don't know if Norm is going to be starting. I'm glad that Norm's proved it.
Mm.
Part of me thinks that it might be better, I don't know, for him to be a bench piece throughout the playoffs, given the matchups. I think eventually, I would like that to be a move that they make. I don't want to see Norm a surprise starter in the playoffs. That seems like a bad move. I'd rather see Norm be the I'd not like to see Fred be the surprise starter. I'd rather see Norm be the surprise starter.
I almost think it's a bit of a wash at this point who starts, because you're going to get production either way. Because as Norm has been good as a starter, Fred's also averaging like 17.6 points per game with 6.6 assists.
I don't want to make this seem like I'm hating on Fred. Fred VanVleet, when healthy, has been phenomenal as well.
So you're telling me when he dribbles more than three times, you're not going to let off three
tweets? Oh, my God, no. Oh. Like, as soon as you said that, I cringed. Like, I couldn't help it. It was a physical reaction.
When he goes up for a layup and misses.
It is great. Like, at the beginning of the year, he was so bad in the painted area when he was trying to. It was just crazy.
Beginning of the year, middle of the year.
Lately.
What changed?
Different N1s. That's changed about his game this season.
What is he shooting on mid-range shots? Like, isn't it just, like, historically bad?
It's improved. It was, like, crazy bad.
And, but, I mean, if you're going up against the Bucks, you're probably, like, I'm just saying, in that series, I still think that you need Norman Powell to start. Like,
against the Bucks, I guess.
Against the Bucks, I agree.
I can see.
Not against the Celtics, necessarily. I think it would be.
No, I think you could start him.
You could start Fred against the Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. That's what I'm saying.
You need someone to guard Kemba.
Do you?
Yes. Nick Nurse already saw to that, but still.
If the Raptors happen to face the Sixers, I also don't want to see Fred starting.
I think that's fair.
Yo, come on, man. Fred this year against the Sixers has done really well.
But I think it's because.
I just pulled the numbers.
You don't think that they can, like, figure that one out?
I
know Brett Brown's, like, terrible, but.
The Sixers aren't the Sixers anymore this year. So Fred VanVleet this year, 22 points.
Yeah.
In 41 minutes, that was a home win. And then also 24 points, 9 of 15 shooting. That was the other home win. Now, on the road, he had a game where he left with injury. So that's incomplete. But still, ultimately speaking, Fred has been pretty good against the Sixers this year.
No, he's been good against the Sixers this year. I don't know how.
I don't think you're right. Like, I'm not even worried about what he did in the regular season. I just see that in the playoffs.
Tell him.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I agree.
It's turning into Fred VanVleet hate. What did I say? He didn't have the second child at that point, man.
You drew this out because you were like, oh, and he dribbles more than three.
Yeah, you unleashed it. Yeah. I think that ultimately it's exciting to have this be a real conversation because it means both of them are really good.
Yeah.
And they've both been they both overperformed the expectations that I had of them. I thought,
yeah,
I didn't see this much consistent production coming out of that spot on the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that if the team was healthier, we'd be, I think, a really, really scary team. But
yeah,
hey, what can you do?
I guess the answer is you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. Iman, do you want to tell us about Dish with Nimes podcast?
Yes. So we have a podcast with, like Will was saying, a lot of hosts. we are all women. It's an all-women podcast. We are rotating hosts, so you'll get to hear different people's point of views, different people. We all just have such different viewpoints and different favorite players. I might rag on Fred VanVleet a little bit too much for the rest of the women's liking, and possibly even DeMar DeRozan a little too much for their liking. But yeah, it's just nine smart, funny women with different opinions who get on a podcast and talk about the Raptors and the rest of the NBA.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. Do you have a episode that you'd want a new listener to check out first? I know it may not be evergreen, but do you want to direct someone to a segment that you think went really well that you can plug here?
Yeah, start from the beginning and then listen to every single episode. Not off the top. They're all good.
I think the Reggie Miller...
The Reggie Miller rant was really, really, really good. Mm. Also, like, especially for people who are just super annoyed with Reggie Miller, the commentator, and want to be annoyed with Reggie Miller, the basketball player, go and listen to that. It was so well done. Kelsey did a great job with that.
Yeah, awesome.
Who's your favorite co-host?
Whoa. Will.
It's a tie. It's a tie with all of them.
Well, who's your favorite co-host?
Funny and...
I mean, obviously. You. Oh, between the two of us? Well, you. I mean, can't pick myself. It's conceited.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Dishes and Dimes co-host? Because I'm on the call right now, and I'm the only one who can be upset with your answer in this moment in time.
So, I mean, you know, we've been rolling with you forever, so we're going to pick you. But you know, Yasmin making moves.
If I don't pick Katie Heindel, she might run up on me. We work in the same building.
She was just here.
Just did an episode today, so that's perfect.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm going to check it out after listening to 3 hours of Bill Simmons and Ryan Russo. I don't know how they do so long.
All right, Iman.
Thank you.
Right. Be good.
Thanks for having me, guys. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right, we got a big caller coming up, but we got to knock out some of the KFC hotline callers.
Awesome.
And so the first one here is from my guy, Marcelo, who is Brazilian.
All right, Marcel, welcome to the show.
I don't know why to throw that in.
Hey, Josh and Will. Here is Marcelo Menezes. And I was wondering about center position. And since we're so thin, you know, we have Boucher and Brandé, but they can only do so much. And I was wondering if we could go crazy and pay like $27 million or more to Serge as a 1 year, and next year would be like more sustainable $20 million since we're looking to 2021 Giannis to Toronto, and also Mark, maybe next year he could accept 2022. Since we're dealing with also VanVleet contract, I don't know what you guys think about maintaining those two core center position pieces.
Yeah, I don't think it'll cost as much as Marcel was saying.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
27 for Serge is probably what he will get on a 2 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know. Who else was it? Oh, Mark. Yeah, Mark at 20. Like, honestly, he's been out for, like, more than a third of the year.
The market's low on Mark.
Yeah.
The market.
Okay. All right. LaMarcus Aldridge. I always love that. That Marcus Aldridge is just in LaMarcus Aldridge's name. But, you know, in the idea of bringing some of them back, yeah, why not? Because you don't have a reliable center in the pipeline. It's not like next year Chris Boucher is going to come in with a normal BMI and like be a rotation player. You know, and DeJuan is, you know, the next guy we're going to do for Stanley Suggestions when it's going to be DeJuan's destination. So
that's fact.
He's still in the development pipeline. And so you don't really have a center. So you kind of need someone to bridge you. And going forward, I don't know if you can afford to keep both on long-term deals. I feel like Serge is probably going to have some pretty good options this year.
I won't. Okay. I want Search to stay now.
Who doesn't want Search to stay? Of course I want Search to stay. He's staying into the camera.
At Mark's expense.
Okay.
I think we have. You're going to have to decide. I think at the beginning of the year, I was of the opinion, let's keep Mark, but not anymore.
If Mark agrees to come back, on like he loves Toronto, everything like that, he agrees to come back, $10 million, 1 year. You want him?
I mean, sure. I don't know.
Come on.
How many games is he going to play?
He's only getting paid $10 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told you,
he plays 45 games in the playoffs.
I've talked a little bit about Marc Gasol being like new Dave Winfield, who was a designated hitter the championship Blue Jays picked up, and who was trash afterwards. And you pick him up because he wins your championship, and then you part ways. Okay. What are we paying Marc Gasol for? To stick around and like, I like him. He's a good man. His outfits are hilarious. Is he going to be a player that you want to pay for next year?
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But good question from Marcelo, and also a big shout-out to Marcelo, always supporting the show. He was a big Defeated Pod listener.
Was he? The deleted.
Yeah, the deleted pod, no. Okay, all right, we've waited long enough. Vitaly is calling in from line one.
Vitaly, how's it going?
What's good, baby? How you doing, guys?
How you doing, man?
Josh, you know we all love you. You're a good co-host, but please, no more baseball references. Okay. Come on, hockey maybe. Come on, little bit of respect.
What, they're not playing baseball in Moscow?
No.
Okay, you're not like throwing like snowballs and hitting them with a bat.
No chance. We soccer, basketball, and polar bear game.
Okay. Yo, actually, can you explain something? You know that game that you see on Twitter sometimes where people are just like slapping each other hard in the face until one guy falls over?
Oh.
Is that common?
Oh, so they actually have an event. It's funny, Dana White, the UFC guy,
yeah.
He was actually thinking about promoting it. It's like the Slap Olympics.
Wow, okay.
Very barbaric, very barbaric. I don't support.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, let's talk ball.
They drink so much vodka, it's like they can't really feel it, so it's like anesthesia, you know?
Yeah.
Really quick, you know, I had to do it one time. The young man who called in from the West Coast, this guy was breathing like early season Marc Gasol, fresh out of the parade. I had some time to think about it, and either he was running from the cops, or this man was calling straight from the Tour de France. He was on he was coming through the podium.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I was wondering what it sounded like to our listeners. We could hear it, and I was like, "Ah, this is kind of weird." Hopefully. It's not too loud, but it sounds like...
It wasn't, like, subtle, you know? It was, like, into the mic. I was a little uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, well.
A little intimate? It makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
It was panting. It was a bit much. I have a big shot this week.
Is it deep from Victoria?
No. Well, come on. I had to... He's one of the fam, you know? I had to...
Yeah.
It's a light road.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah. My big fun of the week, it's very special to me. This was a long time coming. You know, you hear the common cliche. You have the guy that, you know, you hate him if you play against him. But if he's on your team, you love that guy.
Mm.
Well, this guy, you hate him whether he's on your team or not. My big fun of the week, none other than Patrick Beverley.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy, it's... I could probably do a weekly segment just on him, but he is, first of all, his defense, 100% overrated. It's like, it's this concept where if you foul every play, they won't call a foul on every play.
Yeah,
Avery Bradley, he's way past his prime. He made him look silly yesterday.
Yeah.
Showed how to actually play proper defense. The guy, you hear after the game, they did interview, they asked him, What do you think about the challenge of defending LeBron? He was like, he went full Paul Pierce. He was like, that's easy, man. That's easy.
Shout out to Harrison. Harrison got that.
Oh, yeah?
That was Harrison, yeah.
Oh, wow. Big shout out to Harrison. All right.
Stanford.
He got that from Pierce?
No, Harrison did it was Harrison's clip that went literally yesterday.
He's the one who asked Beverly.
Harrison Sanford is the guy that you.
No, I'm inside the green room, man. Yeah. I run deep. I know the city.
There you go.
Boy. Great guy. I mean, it's Danny roasted him a lot on the pod, but he's a nice guy.
He's a good guy.
He's a good dude.
So Pat Bev, man. Yeah. Joke.
It was unbelievable. To say it's easy, mm-hmm. ask your friend and colleague, Lou Williams, who was getting baptized yesterday.
Oh, man.
Every play. It was unbelievable. I felt kind of bad for him.
It's crazy because I didn't see it coming. It's not like it happened in the 2015 playoffs, the 2017 playoffs, the 2018 playoffs, the 2019 playoffs. I didn't think Lou Williams would be a bad player in that situation. Wow, I didn't. Was that surprising to you? That was surprising to me.
It was surprising to see them go. Like, that's the look, and it's a look that everyone's going to.
They're going to go at him.
I'm not sure if he's sweet Lou or shit Lou, you know? There was a clip last year's playoffs. They were asking Pat Beverly and Lou Williams about defending Kevin Durant. And they're like, oh, we promised, we tried. And everyone's like, oh, I respect that. Bro, that's like me trying to date Margot Robbie. She's married, you know? It's not going to happen. It's like... Lou Williams, he makes Trae Young look like Scottie Pippen.
Wow.
Come on. It's
a double big foul of the week, the whole Clippers backcourt.
But the thing about Pat Bev...
The first ever co-fraud.
The thing about Pat Bev that made me so mad is that he threw his colleague under the bus. Because it's like, what do you mean it's easy? Your man was getting absolutely... Yeah. It was just rude.
Also, we don't have enough conversation about how he's basically Matthew Dellavedova.
he
hurts players. You know, now, he almost ruined Westbrook's career, and I don't even like Westbrook that much. But Westbrook is a gift to the game.
Yeah.
Why are we diving at his knees constantly?
That's such a dirty play.
You know, a player has to be a rat piece of crap for you to feel bad for Westbrook. And with Lou, people, they look at him, the sixth man of the year, he gets you moderately efficient 20 points, empty calories. Man, we let him go after he won sixth man of the year because, you guessed it, in the playoffs, exposed.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You can't play him. You literally, even Montrez, not that great a defender, but when it comes to the playoffs, this guy is, I would rather have anyone in our eight-man rotation, I think.
Yeah,
it was a huge liability.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to call in when the Clippers don't make the finals, they don't win the title, the Raptors are in the finals, and you call in and you give Uncle Dennis big fraud of the week.
Oh my gosh!
For costing Kawhi a ring,
Ballmer.
I promise you this: we will make the playoffs, we will make the finals, and I will be there.
Okay.
Make the finals. I'll be every home game.
All right. I'll see you there if coronavirus allows us in.
Oh man, that's a whole. The Raptors right now, Boston really fell off. We have a big game. We basically clinched the two seed effectively. I mean, Boston has injuries.
Yeah.
There's still that one game coming up against Boston. They got to get that one, and that's on the road.
Yeah,
I'm not sure they'll still need it at that point.
Oh, sorry, that's at home. Sorry, actually, no. If it's Raptors at home, we should have that. Yeah, actually,
it's at home because we've played twice in Boston. I mean, first round you got maybe Brooklyn or Orlando. That's nice Canadian sweep, 4-1. Boston with home court, they don't have that it factor yet. They don't. I'm so confident in that. So we can pretty much skip to Toronto and Milwaukee at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time. One quick thing. I'm so late on this, but my wife showed me that she couldn't believe I hadn't seen it. Unfortunately, it was overshadowed because it was the time of Kobe's death. Did you see the clip of Kawhi Leonard at the strip club?
Oh, yeah, I did.
The guy, his hands are the size of her entire upper body.
I was so nervous. I don't know where you want to go with this, but you're right. He has big hands.
I know.
It's because you seldom see the scale of what it looks like in,
Yo, he was palming,
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Listen, huge hand.
I'll keep it brand friendly. Shout out KFC Buckets. greatest sponsor. It's hilarious that this guy's justification for leaving pretty much a guaranteed ring with Toronto is like, oh, you know what? I love my family, my kids, my girl. I get to be home.
Yeah,
and this man is, I think it was in Miami, but
Atlanta.
This man is out there.
But wasn't he?
What?
Never.
I mean, you know, we don't know what their grievance he has.
It was a teammate's birthday, but I don't know.
What are you going to do, skip a birthday party?
Yeah, you got to be a leader. But
come on, man.
No, but that's, come on, you're a family man, and hey, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I didn't leave Toronto, like, for the reason to this guy is, like, be with my family, and then you could, so it upsets me a little bit, but yeah. I want to ask you guys, it looks like Lakers will have home court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you have to pick who are you taking best of seven, Lakers or Clippers?
I'm still taking Clippers because I really do believe playoff-wise, Kawhi Leonard is at a level that's above LeBron now.
I kind of think like the Lakers. I don't think that Doc Rivers has a solution for what the Lakers show. I think his only solution is I hope Paul Pierce and Kawhi Leonard play really well, and that's
Paul George.
Sorry,
yeah. I was gonna say, man, Clippers still got Paul Pierce.
Paul George. I was watching the game like. It didn't seem like the Clippers schemed well for that game.
No.
And
but they took the first two already, so.
They did. And yeah. they're probably, I like their team more, but I don't know. I just think the Lakers, the brain trust with like Lionel Hollins, Jason Kidd, and Frank Vogel have put together a game plan that worked.
Yeah, fair enough.
Jason Kidd, one of the most brilliant minds in the NBA. It's I think it might come down to Davis on Zubac, that might be barbecue chicken, honestly. When, when you need a bucket, who's going to guard them? It's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's a good point.
All right, Vitaly. Stay good, man.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
All right. The best.
Yeah. Let's take
our last caller, and then let's cycle through the remainder of our KFC hotline and also our Stanley suggestions.
All right. So on line two, we have Adher from Sacramento. Did I get your name right? Adher?
Oh, no. It's a B, so A-B-H-I.
Oh, sorry about that.
Wow. All right. We're reading off a board, man. Unbelievable.
What's up?
Unbelievable. Our producer's letting us down. All right.
Adher.
No, it's all good, man. Yeah, what a game last night, though, guys. I was in attendance, too. That was a little worried at the end, man.
Wait, hold on. Were you the guy who was screaming at Luke Walton that he's an idiot for not putting Buddy Hield in the game?
I wish I was that guy, man. I don't know. Amazing, I don't know why they got rid of Dave Joerger, man. Like,
he's a good coach.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. He's a good coach. He's a really smart coach.
The Luke Walton thing, it's crazy that he got that job because of the circumstances of his departure from Los Angeles were not ceremonious. Like he was accused of doing some awful shit, and then he gets 4 days later. Anywho,
yeah, anyway,
we don't need to.
Yeah, privilege is a big factor in life.
Jesus Murphy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really a big Kings fan. I'm a diehard Raptors fan but I was actually in attendance for the game four, and we took over that Oracle Arena, man. That was some of the best memories I will ever have of singing Old Canada and chanting CGC. That was crazy and weird at the same time, man.
That's crazy. I probably got a picture of you. I probably got a picture of you on my phone. To be honest,
probably do. I got plenty of pictures of you. No stalking. Just saying.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, send me those.
But yeah, I got two questions for y'all. First one is about what do you believe would be the best possible seeding if, with 1 month left, it's two playoffs? What would the Raptors' best possible seeding be, like in terms of who would they play throughout? And what the worst possible seeding be? And the second question, I don't know if you want to answer that first or you want me to ask you the second question.
Yeah, let's get to the first one first. I think Raptors, to be honest, I don't care who they play in the first round. It's going to be either the Nets or the Magic. I would rather them play the Nets only because I'm sick of seeing them play the Magic, but I'm pretty confident they could beat the Magic. They don't have anyone left to guard Pascal. Jonathan Isaac was kind of that guy last year, and he's out for the year, so it's going to come down to Aaron Gordon.
I forgot about Jonathan Isaac getting hurt. That's
unfortunate, you know. And then the Nets,
But the Nets kind of punch it on their season at this point. They're starting DeAndre Jordan. They don't seem to care.
So the first round doesn't really matter. It's really about who the Raptors play in the second round. And it's looking like right now the 4-5 matchup is
Heat Pacers,
yeah. Well, I guess that's going to go to Milwaukee. So we're looking at probably Celtics or Sixers. I don't think the Sixers get out of the first round, especially with the injuries the way they are. They're saying Ben Simmons may be back for the playoffs.
I don't think they should bring him back. No. That's serious. That's a serious injury.
Yeah. And he's dealing with heartbreak with Kendall.
And if they ever have to choose between him and Embiid, I think Simmons is the smarter choice. It would just it's like malpractice to rush him back.
Okay. Well, okay, yeah. Then, but between the two of them, I prefer the Sixers.
I think the Sixers would lose that first round series.
Yeah.
I have all year long. The thing I want from this season is a Raptors-Celtics series. I want the Raptors to beat the Celtics in a series.
Decide once and for all who's better between Pascal and Tatum.
Also, Nick Nurse and the other guy.
Yeah, not Nick Nurse.
Not Nick Nurse. Yeah, those are the things that I'm
most. Coach of the year.
Coach of the year.
All right, what's the other question?
The whole coronavirus outbreak out here is starting to get real, real serious. I mean,
you guys are in
school zones shut down in Sacramento, and even in the Bay Area, we just got that whole cruise ship that just docked and stuff. So, how's the atmosphere up there, man? And also in regards to the Raptors organization, like, you think they'll start having games without any fans?
I don't know. I mean, that's not going to be the Raptors' call. It's going to be a league-wide call.
Yeah.
I think they're already taking measures right now to limit media access.
Yep.
Just so that the players aren't in contact with more people than they need to be. Which I actually kind of don't mind in a way, because to be honest, just speaking as personal experience, like going into the locker room while players are coming out of the shower and they're changing and stuff, it's like a major invasion of privacy. And the only reason we even do this process is because this is just how the process is done. You go into the locker room, but it's mad awkward. You just got like 20 media members standing in the middle of the locker room, people coming in out of the shower with towels on. So to be honest, if we don't have to go in a situation, they can just come to a podium and then we can ask some questions like you would see with the way Nick Nurse gets interviewed.
Yeah.
Then I think that's a win-win for everybody. So, yeah, but hopefully, you know, it doesn't get that serious. Hopefully there's a cure found soon or
vaccine
in this case.
What about Toronto, though? I mean, I haven't been in the city for, like, over 2 years now.
There are a few dozen cases.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, that much panic, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
People get nervous if I sneeze on the TTC, but, you know, I promise I don't have it. Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for the answers, guys.
All right, appreciate you. All right.
Be good.
All right. This is for the calls. A couple more things before we get to Stanley's suggestions. We got two more Casey hotlines. So the first one is just mostly praise.
Mad respect for recording a reaction podcast after the Warriors game. That game itself ran into the early hours of the night.
Boom.
I can't imagine sitting down afterwards and putting your thoughts together and recording something that is as enjoyable and coherent at that hour of the night. P.S. Just a thought. For any of these late night games on the West Coast, just get Vitaly from Moscow. By this point, it's what, like 9 o'clock in the morning in Moscow? He's bright and early. He's got the energy. And then it'll be an amazing two-hander.
I don't know what that last phrase was. But, honestly, a slander podcast with Vitaly and Assad would be perfect.
Yeah, three-man weave.
Yeah, I'll just, like, I'll just be there to throw, like, meat to the wolves, basically. You know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Did he ask a question?
No, he just said,
bring Vitaly in.
I'm amazing. And
staying up for that Warriors game, I went to
I went to sleep so late in that game.
I went to Sugo that evening and got home at time for the game. And I was like, a stomach full of like spaghetti. I barely made it through the first half of that game before I said, all right, and I've seen enough. The Raptors are winning this game. Steph Curry looks just okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but also my job is to cover the Raptors. I'm really not going to complain about it ever. All right, the last KFC hotline.
Do you think a 2-3 zone against Giannis with OG and Rondé at the top of the key would work?
I like that he recorded that from an apiary.
Yeah.
He's just feeding birds.
I was going to say, man. This guy's a...
Mike Tyson to the left of him.
Charles Darwin's great-grandson right there.
Charles Darwin.
A zone defense could work against Giannis. I don't know why he called in with that. To be honest, it's a good question.
It's tactically
it's good. The background was a little strange, but
he was just thinking about Giannis when feeding the birds.
Yeah, I think they basically had a system last year where obviously the first key to dealing with Giannis is you got to stop him in transition. You got to stop him getting ahead of his team, get multiple bodies back. But then what you need to do is sort of when Giannis is driving at the top of the floor there, you basically have help defenders waiting at the edge of the paint at all times to rotate over. And I thought Mark did a really good job with that. And
Kyle did a great job.
Yeah. And then the two guys you probably need to guard are Rondé and OG. I don't know if you want to play them both at the same time just because it's not a lot of offense between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And also because you probably want to stagger the two of them so that because if one of them's if they're both on, one of them's not guarding Giannis, and it's cutting down on their usefulness.
But Giannis only playing 32 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, he played like 38 minutes against the Lakers, and now his knee's bad. Like,
I know. Maybe
that was a bad fall, though.
Budenholzer was right.
Budenholzer was like, wow. Can't extend Giannis's minutes in Game 6 of the NBA Finals while we're about to get swept out of here. But against the Lakers here, let's play Giannis a 5 and play him 40 minutes.
I think he wanted to see if he could do it, and it turns out maybe he can't.
Apparently not.
It was a bad fall. I'm glad that he's mostly okay.
I hope he's okay.
It sounds like it's just a sprain.
Yeah. We might need Alec McKechnie to send him a care package.
Just let him know.
Yeah.
All right. That's the show. But last, Stanley Suggestions.
We have Stanley Suggestions, which every week we are going to give Stanley some suggestions of where to visit in Toronto because it's a beautiful city. It's starting to warm up now.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place in the city.
As OG would be very thrilled to hear, it's almost sundress season. So, you know, stick around. But but anyway.
That's a very deep cut. So my Stanley suggestion this week is Lucky Shrike. It is a bar in Toronto, right near Palmerston and Dundas. Okay. They have a great patio. And patio season is rapidly upon us. I saw people on patios this afternoon, which is just a very Canadian thing to do.
Yeah. Are they wearing shorts?
This is the year time of year where you'll see a guy with a winter jacket and shorts on. It's just the most flagrant outfit.
Damn.
And winter boots.
That's how I go collect my Uber Eats.
But yeah, Lucky Shrike. I was there on Saturday. It is, as always, a great vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend it.
Okay. My Stanley suggestion this week comes by way of Elizabeth Rathbone and Rob Senta, who kindly invited me and Josh to a screening at TIFF for Life Without Basketball. Great documentary.
Wonderful.
If you're not familiar with Bilqis Abdul-Kadir's fight against discriminatory laws with FIBA in terms of not allowing religious headgear to be worn during basketball games and during professional games, and how that basically cost her playing career and sort of launched her into this path of now being a coach and an advocate and everything like that. But it's a really good documentary. I'm not sure it's actually showing at TIFF, but you could probably find it online. It's just it's very fun. Her dad is apparently
an amazing character.
Incredible. Yeah. You had a favorite moment.
Oh my gosh. So Bilqis is a Muslim, and there was a scene where she visited ESPN and they had a handler walk her through the studios and you know, show where Sports Center gets filmed, and she turns to her and says, "It's kind of like the Mecca." And I thought that was so
We were dying.
It was so funny. It's just sort of like that.
Why would you say that in that moment, you know, to her? But it was funny because you also asked her about it.
And she was like, I didn't notice in the moment because you are like stunned, like you're walking through ESPN and you've spent your life watching Stu Scott and Stephen A. On those programs, and he's like watching the documentary. You see back, like, well, that was a crazy thing. Just really amusing. And Bilqis and her husband were really friendly.
Yeah, they really were. Seemed like really good people. So go watch Life Without Basketball. It's a great documentary. And then last thing before we actually go, we're gonna go through some of these YouTube comments. First one from Casey Nurse Scott, Coach of the Year unlock. What would you say? Is he still loser this one?
Yeah, it's got to be.
And he's not going to lose it.
No.
Next one is Pat McCaw, the modern day John Sally.
John Sally had a personality, so no.
Oh my god.
Pat McCaw doesn't talk. Like, if he did, maybe. But
also, John Sally was in NBA for like 2 decades.
Yeah.
So I mean, it helps to be real tall.
Yeah.
But do you like John Sally as a sports host?
I mean, he's not horrible.
Okay, all right.
Do you like him?
I don't watch cable TV
like that anymore. I don't pay that much attention. It's
fair enough. Yeah, he did a lot of that stuff with that guy from the Baseball Network.
Yeah.
Who?
Will Fortress.
Yeah, okay.
When will Matt Thomas get more minutes?
When he plays defense.
Yeah.
Dog, that Sacramento stint, 4 minutes, that's
was brutal.
Brutal defense for 4 minutes. He's usually better than that, but not much better. Also, he's got to get his shot more.
Yeah.
It's cool to lead the NBA in three-point percentage, but you can't only have, like, 73-point attempts on the whole year.
Yeah.
Like, get your attempts up, man. So,
which Raptor would have a more prominent role in another team? Norm Powell's a great candidate. Fred Van Vliet's a solid candidate.
Fred would start in a lot of teams.
And he starts on this team. And
that's true, yeah.
And I think Norm would start on a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the answers.
McCall will have less of a role, though. No, I'm just, just taking the question and flipping it. Yeah.
Who? Okay. Yes.
At Sarge, we'll probably start another team.
Maybe. I don't know about that. Maybe.
Ah, come on.
He could start.
Look who Sacramento's starting. Harry Giles?
But I would think. Len? Can you imagine Sarge on a bad, poorly constructed team?
Portland? Actually, yeah, Hassan Whiteside's had a really good year, but he's still Hassan Whiteside, so. All right. That does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. Josh, any last thoughts?
Watch Run It Back. Watch Around the NBA. Listen to Dishes and Dimes. Mm-hmm. Listen to the Leafs talk. Live, laugh, Leafs.
Yeah, there you go.
And
support women.
Support women and listen to your parents.
Oh, okay, and wash your hands.
And please. Wash your hands.
Please.
None of this hand sanitizer stuff anymore.
Just wash your hands, man. And do it thoroughly.
I want to just keep talking about washing your hands until Steph fades us out. I'm not shutting up about it. Wash your hands. We are facing a health crisis. If you do not keep your hands clean, people will die. It's not that hard. I imagine that the music's already come up and we're done. Little... Yeah. Get underneath your fingernails.
Yeah.
Don't, none of this 2 seconds under the faucet. Use soap. I've seen people not using soap in public bathrooms. That's unbelievable. Wash your hands.
All right. What a great outro. We'll catch you next week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.